Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We are at verse 18. And forward. Through 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 reads as follows. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We're going to talk about that this morning. Before we do, let us ask God for His Word to be made clear to us. Heavenly Father, You have all the mysteries in Your hand. You hold us there. You keep us. You establish us. You've anointed us. You've called us. You've made promises to us. Heavenly Father, You showed us the condition for those. You showed us how we can move from being not Your people to Your people, to even being Your children. Heavenly Father, this morning, as You promised to me, that there would be a healing and a restoration, Heavenly Father, I ask You to do that now. And also, Heavenly Father, as Your Word goes forth, may it be Your words and not mine that we hear. Your message, Your truth, Your mercy, and Your love. Gracious Heavenly Father, I ask You this in the name of Jesus, that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. There are two things that are evident to me in this passage. Number one are the promises that are yes in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't say some of them, but all of them. And no matter how you slice it, all is all. Now, a lot of people wouldn't tell you that. And a lot of people would say, no, that's just not so, because there's some promises that God has made that Christ cannot fulfill. It's not true. He fulfills them all. And it's very consistent throughout Scripture that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all promises of God. The second thing is that we are sealed and given an earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And what that means simply is it's a pledge. In other words, God has made an installment, if you will, on what's coming next. And if you understand that, it's like you buy something on time. You agree to pay for it, and you make your first payment. That's an earnest. It's a down payment on what comes next. Now, if God has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, a down payment on what comes next, shouldn't we ask this question of what comes next? Be a good question, wouldn't it? Since it is a down payment on something coming, wouldn't we like to know what we're getting into? Sure we would. So let's break down the promises and what ones are fulfilled in Jesus Christ that we might not think are, and then we'll look at what the fulfillment of that pledge is. Fair enough? Okay, let's start. Then the promises that God fulfills start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation unto the kingdom that's coming. You might look at all those promises in Genesis, even in their early chapters, especially 1 through 6, and say to yourself, Jesus Christ fulfills these. Some of those promises happened in the Garden of Eden. Some happened to a man named Noah. Some to Abraham. Some to Isaac. Some to Jacob. Some to Joshua. Some to Moses. But Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills them. What this should begin to clear in your mind is that Jesus Christ was there. He could not fulfill them if He wasn't there, obviously. And He fulfills them. The promise that God made to Adam and Eve is, if you will be faithful and not eat of this tree, you will live long and not die. But as surely as you eat from this tree, you will die. That promise, when he ate from that tree, was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. If you think about it for a moment, every single promise that God makes, the devil tries to tell you it's not true. Fear, anxiety, questions, uncertainties, improbabilities, call it what you will, coincidence, bad luck, anything you want to call it, the devil's going to try to tell you that God will not keep those promises. Some of them sound too good to be true. But they're not. They are all true. In Jesus Christ, they are yes. When you belong to Jesus Christ, those promises are your promises also. That's good news. And the promise is that when He pours out His Spirit upon you and puts it in your heart, He is establishing you in the kingdom. In John 15, we see about the vine and the branches. As long as we are connected to the vine in Jesus Christ and are producing fruit of the Spirit, we are recipients of those promises. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is it convinces us or convicts us or confirms, affirms us that we belong to God. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that He is God and He's our Father. That witness is the witness of the Holy Spirit to us, which we cannot know without that witness. One of the blessings of having the Holy Spirit in your heart is you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is your daddy. If someone says, "Who's your daddy?" you can say, "God." With full confidence. The second thing that happens is it gives you a steadfast faith. Maybe you all read editorial cartoons or look at them. I don't know. But there's a movie, I think it came out or is coming out, called The Da Vinci Code. It's out, okay. Ben Sargent had this cartoon in the paper. And this guy is going, "I'm not going to go see that rubbish. It's no good. It's no good." And Ben Sargent says, "If your faith is so weak that you can't handle a work of fiction, you don't have much faith." And that's a fact. If your faith can't challenge all comers and succeed, you don't have much faith in what you believe. If you've risked your life on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and you live in Him, move and have your being in Jesus Christ, your faith is unshakable. Anybody can lie about anything. You can read contradictory things and say Scripture isn't exactly accurate or whatever. You can say, "I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep me unto that which I have committed against that day. I have no question in my heart." That is a blessing of the Holy Spirit. Of faith that's unshakable. Folks, if we still crumble or cower in the spite of our enemies or those who would challenge us, why? God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. There is no no. When you belong to God, you get the whole thing. It's not pick and choose. You get them all. There's, like I said a couple weeks ago, there's over 1,000 promises in here, and you get them all. Only thing you have to do is remain in Jesus Christ, faithful, producing fruit. Now, fruit is not going out and witnessing. Fruit is allowing the Holy Spirit to produce patience, gentleness, peace, love, long-suffering, endurance. All those fruit come out of you. And guess what? They bless the people around you and you don't even know it. Other gifts of the Spirit that aren't listed in the 9, wisdom. Wisdom is another gift. Did you know that? Sure. There are a lot of fruit of the Holy Spirit that God can put through you to others. Benevolence. There's a bunch. And so what I'm sharing with you is that God has said as long as you remain instead with Him, with the Holy Spirit witnessing that you belong to the Father and you are connected to Jesus Christ and allowing Him to run your life and Lord and Master, friend, brother, and servant to Him, you now have what's called the possibility of seeing the pledge fulfilled. Well, what's the pledge? What's next? We talked a couple weeks ago about how God works out the impurities, cleansing. There's another blessing. He says, first of all, that the Holy Spirit convicts you that He is God. It convicts you of the unrighteousness so that you can allow Him to remove it. And the pledge, what happens next after the Holy Spirit is given to you, is you begin to advance in God's kingdom. The Spirit, if you will, is a seal of redemption, that you belong to God. In chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and 4, it says, we are in this tabernacle, this body that is unburdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality would be swallowed up of life. Now whoever wrought this for us, the selfsame thing is God, who has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And what that's saying is that God is gradually transforming our inward self to be like Christ. That He is changing us inwardly from one level of glory and responsibility to the next. That your witness, if you will, or your authority in the kingdom will increase. You think about it like this. Simple way to think about it. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, faith to me was praying for a bicycle for Christmas. I was taught in Sunday school about the time that I wanted a bicycle, a new bicycle, that you pray one time and ask and trust God and you don't ask anymore. So I prayed in August. And I said, Lord, I'd really like a bicycle. And I hope I get it for my birthday in September. My birthday came and went, and I didn't have a bicycle. But I didn't ask again. I knew God would answer that prayer. Christmas time, no bicycle under the tree. But there was a letter, and it said, you're going on a treasure hunt for your Christmas gift. And by golly, we were sent all over that house, upstairs, downstairs, every room, finding all these clues in different places. And at the end of it, behind a wall that we didn't know was in the basement, was a cardboard box covering up a wall. And we opened up the box and there was 2 bicycles, one for me and one for my sister. There it was. And I just knew it. And you know, I got to tell you something. I don't pray for a bicycle now. But as a child, that's big. That's as big as we can think. What would, if you could ask God for anything and you're 6 years old, what are you going to ask for? A bicycle. If God can do anything, He can get me a bicycle. I don't know about you, but I'm not asking God to go out and do anything I could ever think or imagine and provide me with a bicycle. But He's faithful. That whatever you ask, at the level of faith that you're at, He will empower you to receive it. Listen to that again. He will empower you to receive what in faith you believe you're asking for. If you're asking for a bigger blessing, a bigger increase in whatever it is, He's going to empower you with the faith. By the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts is faith and hope to get that. You cannot create that. Faith is a gift. It's also fruit. So whatever area in your life that you might be working through or struggling or asking God for, if you are faithful and believe and allow that Holy Spirit to continue to witness that your Heavenly Father loves you and that you love Him and that you're willing to do whatever He says, He will empower you to receive that which in faith you've asked for. That's the second installment. It's to know that no matter what you ask for, it's going to happen. With that comes great responsibility. Do you remember when the disciples said to Jesus, "This tree has not bore fruit. Let's cut it down." What Jesus said. First of all, it was a tree that bore oil. He said, put some manure around it. Fertilize it. Love it. One more season. And if it doesn't produce fruit, then cut it down. But the patience of the Lord is to give the opportunity for that to bear fruit. In our desire, we whack it away. And Jesus says, let me show you how to ask. That's the toughest prayer to pray. Is, Heavenly Father, tell me what to ask for. I know what I want. But what does God want? That's another installment. Knowing what to ask for. Do you know what all these payments in the pledge is for? You do. It's eternal life with Him, empowered from on high to live eternally, full of the Holy Spirit, being just like Christ is, and reflecting the glory of your Heavenly Father in your face. That's what He's doing, step by step by step. Here a little, there a little. Bit by bit, the kingdom of God comes in to you. Jesus was asked, and He answered a question. He said, when people say, here's the kingdom of God over there, and there it is, He said, don't believe it. The kingdom of God is in you. Bit by bit it grows. Here a little, there a little. God adds. And if you're faithful and allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and run your life, you will see yourself, your personality even, will change. Because God is doing the work and you're a willing vessel. I never said change was always easy. Neither did God. But he did say that it is for your blessing. It is for the highest potential that he's placed in you that they happen. And so hear this. When you belong to Jesus Christ, everything God said in here is yes to you. Never know. Never. Until you cut yourself off by being unfruitful. I think this is a message of good news. And what it tells me is that if we truly believe God can heal us, as he's told me that someone today would find a healing or a restoration of something they've been praying for, then by all means, step out on faith. And let the next installment be yours now. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is true. And it's also love. For truth without love is harsh. And love without truth causes compromise. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would make us of a single mind and not be double-minded, for that we would be stable in all our ways. And our eyes would be directed on the paths of righteousness that you call us to walk on. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather here, may your word now be fulfilled in this place. The healing, the restoration that you said would happen, may it be a cleansing, a renewing. May this message be an affirmation and a confirmation of what we've been asking you for. Heavenly Father, seal it now. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
2:37, did you think?
2:37.